You're listening to the Ready Set Cloud podcast, a show about trending and difficult topics on serverless and in the cloud. Today, we're talking about serverless. Yes, you knew this episode was coming. I invited Sam Locke from Serverless Guru on the show to talk about industry trends, the exciting things Serverless Guru is working on, and of course, generative AI. Ready? Set? Let's go. If you've been around the serverless world for any length of time, you've probably heard of Serverless Guru. And if you're anything like me, you probably aren't quite sure what they do. Here with me today to tell us all about it and dive into some cool serverless tales is Sam Locke. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks.
So you're a serverless developer at Serverless Guru. Why don't you tell me, what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, sure. So Serverless Guru provide development, consultancy, training and support for companies with their serverless architectures, mostly within AWS. We've got clients based all over the world and a bunch of developers in almost every continent. It's a really, really great bunch of people. Got some really smart people. Got some heroes, a ton of community builders, and got a few other side projects as well that I'm sure we'll speak about in the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I've been really heavily involved in the serverless community for probably 4 or 5 years, and Serverless Guru is one of those companies that has been there the entire time that I have. And I've heard the company all the time. You guys do a great job with branding and marketing, but for a long time, I didn't have any idea what you guys did. So primarily, you guys are a consultancy. Is that right? Do you guys branch out and do anything else?
So the majority of our clients, it'll be consultancy and development. We have a product called Cloud GTO that's currently in beta, essentially going to be a tool for building your serverless end-to-end solutions within a UI, producing all the config that you need that you can then take away and deploy in your own time.
That's exciting. I want to talk about that here in a minute. But before we do, your title is Serverless Developer. And Serverless Guru offers consultancy. So what is it specifically that you do?
I'm a backend developer, focus on obviously Lambda functions. So really churning out APIs that are required for end-to-end solutions or building backend asynchronous processes, pulling off queues and event bridge in those event-driven architectures, and essentially just rinsing and repeating that around the company and trying to establish good practices, because not every client's going to have serverless specific developers, and it's a completely new paradigm, right? So not only are we trying to build software for them, but we're trying to educate and elevate everyone else around us, which I think can differ us from quite a few similar solutions out there in the field.
Yeah, definitely. And so are you the full package deal? Are you the consultant, the solutions architect, and the developer? Like, where do you slot in when you're actually consulting with a company?
We fit all the pieces of the puzzle, really. There's over 100 people that we have within Serverless Guru, and that does consist of architects and obviously a ton of developers, front-end, back-end, and everyone needs to know what serverless is, how everything is talking to everything else. And so, yes, basically, when our clients need a certain piece filled in, we've got the talent there to do that.
So even if companies are not actively building with serverless technologies, let's say they're going through an app modernization effort, or they're doing greenfield development that is going to build a brand new application in serverless tech, they see the benefits of it, they decided, yes, let's pull the trigger, and they go do that. So your responsibility is actually like boots on the ground, hands on keyboard, building it out, but also educating the staff of your customers as well to say, this is why I'm building it this way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We do workshops for our clients as well. We also have sort of a publicly available serverless course called Zero to Paid Professional, which is more at the individual level for a developer, junior or senior, doesn't really matter, that just really wants to understand what it means to be a serverless developer, what those services are, what those best practices are. And Brian, the founder, has done a great job at fleshing out that course. And we've got a ton of others in the pipeline as well. Maybe post reInvent, some of those might be revealed. I'm not too sure.
Awesome. I can't wait for that. So what is a serverless developer? It's a term that I used to call myself. I used to call myself a serverless architect, but I've taken a step back from that. What do you consider a serverless developer to be?
A really good question. certainly someone that writes code, right? But what differs that from somebody building in containers, Kubernetes and whatnot? I think it's somebody that is thinking Lambda functions, and you are taking a deeper consideration into the integrations with services such as SQS, EventBridge, DynamoDB, and it's even more important in serverless because you're relying on some of the behavior of the third-party services. You can't simply rely on everything being defined in your code. And I think that's a big difference between just building an application start to finish that runs on your PC, runs on EC2, compared with running a Lambda function that will work when you are pulling off an SQS queue and when you are writing objects into an S3 bucket, for example.
Gotcha. So you work with a lot of different customers, and I'm sure see a lot of different patterns and strategies and approaches to serverless development. And I'm really curious to hear from someone who sees it everywhere. What are some of these serverless trends, or even, you know, more importantly, what are some of the mistakes that you see a lot of people making that we need to talk about?
And this one's a bit of a debate, but serverless works really well when you're in that ideal architecture where everything is serverless, or everything's within AWS, everything has been done how Amazon's best practices define. The moment that you need to do something a little bit different for various reasons, things can become a lot more complicated. Some good examples from when I've worked with clients is clients sometimes like the idea of Kafka. They've maybe used it on-premise and they're moving into the cloud. Maybe they've been using it in the serverful architectures and they're doing a migration. They don't want to change everything at once and they want to sort of use that. Now it's got a weaker integration compared with something similar like EventBridge, for example. And it makes things a little bit more brittle, it's a little bit more tricky to work with. So if you can really buy into the serverless ecosystem, things are really, really easy. That's maybe a challenge that separates good serverless developers from great ones, is can they work with those hybrid architectures, maybe in other clouds, maybe using RDS. Another good point to bring up is over-architect rather than just going out there and building. One of the key benefits of serverless is you can build fast, you can deploy fast, you can fix things, you can change things fast. And if we go too slow because there's too much business process, it removes that benefit that we have from serverless. I should be told that here's a problem to solve and put it in the developer or maybe one architect's hands, come up with a basic solution. It should work, now go build it. What they tend to do is worry about a lot of the drawbacks with certain managed services. For example, DynamoDB has a maximum item size, I think 400 kilobytes. And of course, when you're in RDS or something, you normally don't have to worry about that sort of thing. You've got quotas. So writing objects into DynamoDB, you may hit your quota as your application scales. Now, instead of having to try and solve that on day one, just write those items in. And when you do start hitting that quota, then implement batching. You've got a tiny Lambda function. It should be super easy to just fix those problems as they arrive. Now, there are fundamental issues, like I just said, 400 kilobytes for a DynamoDB item. Make sure it's not going to be greater than that, but there are ways to get around this.
Now, one of the things that I see as a negative toward how fast you can build with serverless, and I know this one because I have fallen victim to it many, many times, is skipping out on observability and knowing when to backtrack and adjust for some of these things that are further down the line. What are your approaches to make sure that you see these things before they happen?
I think a lot of that comes from experience. So in making those mistakes with serverless, we're allowed to fail fast, learn fast, and then we don't make those mistakes in the future. And it is complex. It's a complex problem that I don't think has been fully solved yet. Lots of companies are trying their best with observability in those serverless or distributed architectures, but it is hard. So from my experience, making those mistakes, falling foul to those quotas, having to fix it, the next time you need to build an architecture that's roughly similar, you're not going to forget that time there. You're up till 10 p.m. trying to batch up some DynamoDB writes or something silly.
I want to pivot us a little bit. You mentioned Cloud GTO, an offering by Serverless Guru. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And is that a Serverless Guru branded application?
So it's an application that is going to be under the Serverless Guru umbrella. It's been developed by the developers in-house. I mentioned we've got over 100 front-end, back-end architects, everybody. We've all swarmed together to build this really, really great application that solves quite a common problem coming up nowadays. We've obviously seen a ton of these, I don't say ClickOps, ClickOps has got negative connotations, but those user interfaces that make it even easier to build serverless architectures. And we're trying to solve it in our own unique way, where you've got all your architecture best practices and it is quite opinionated, but I feel like at some point somebody needs to stamp their opinion on how you do things. Amazon do a little bit somewhat. People that then build on top of that will usually stamp their opinion on top. We're a bunch of developers, very good developers, so I think our opinion would probably be well respected. And what you essentially do is use the interface, build your classic API, you know, API gateway, Lambda, DynamoDB. That will generate your serverless YAML config that you're able to deploy. And the bit that I really like about it is you have that config. You can now get out of Cloud GTO if you ever wanted to. It's not something that's going to trap you in there, which can happen with certain other third parties.
So is this just an infrastructure as code generation tool, or will it also deploy into AWS for you?
Right now, whilst it's in beta, that's just the scope. But of course, as time goes on, if it picks up traction, it should definitely be able to do that, I'd assume. You know, similar to how the serverless framework tried to monetize their own framework with their console and whatnot, I think something similar will probably be in the pipeline for sure.
And is it new only, or can you maintain some of these templates inside of Cloud GTO?
Once you've built them within Cloud GTO, they will be part of your account. So you can continue to use that front end to augment and change things as and when you want. And then at the end of that lifecycle, it's going to generate a new serverless YAML file that you can then deploy yourself. And of course, as I said, the moment at which we go beyond what the Cloud GTO capabilities, then you're able to get out. And I think that's quite important with these front end solutions, is they can do things quite well, but they can't do everything. And the moment you need something a little bit off-piste, I think it's important that you can get into the nitty-gritty of the config and really make it how you need it to be for your client, your customer, or your internal business.
You had mentioned early on when you were talking about Cloud GTO that it was poised to solve a common problem. But I don't think I heard what that common problem was. What is the problem that Cloud GTO is actually solving?
As technology is evolving, all these great services are coming out. It's boilerplate after boilerplate after boilerplate. We have a ton of repetitive code that not just serverless developers, anyone is really working with. And essentially, we're trying to automate it to reduce the amount of effort to produce applications and APIs and workflows and whatnot. The world's going more distributed, more microservice. So we need to be able to do more smaller things more times rather than creating one monolithic application. I want to be able to spin out tens of microservices a month as part of my team. Now, if everybody's having to do that same boilerplate process again and again, companies losing money. So as that's becoming more of a trend, people are realizing that the development effort should be put in the business logic, not in the boilerplate, which is a similar argument to what Serverless makes against its competitors as well.
Absolutely. And I've actually had a conversation like this with several different companies lately who have been walking down this avenue. The benefit of services like this that are seeking to remove the boilerplate and accelerate developers, they have continuous value. At the beginning, for people who are early on and are trying to learn, it's a great educational tool. You can see this piece has to connect to this piece, has to connect to that piece. If I want to be able to attach an API endpoint and API gateway directly to DynamoDB instead of via a Lambda function, this is how I would do that. And you can see it connects the dots for people who are early on or who are doing discovery. But at some point, you get past that discovery and you know all this stuff already, but you keep coming back because now it's just an accelerator. You know, this is the way that I'm going to do it. My opinion is now the opinion of Cloud GTO, and I'm just going to continue using that to accelerate my projects from here on out. Even though I already know exactly what it's doing, which is a good thing, you should always know that, I'm going to keep using it because it goes fast. So I really like tools that do this in general because it has a two-factor set of values. I'm going to pivot us again, because no conversation is complete in tech without mentioning AI. So I'm curious, as somebody who is a professional in the serverless space, somebody who does consultancy, somebody who's seen what everybody's doing, what's your thoughts on AI, both right now, is it ready to use in serverless, and the future of it? Where is it gonna go?
In terms of improving that developer activity, there's no debate what it's done. It's been great. There's definitely a learning curve to serverless. It takes time to understand all these services, how they all work together and mesh together. We've seen, of course, ChatGPT has been great, but its cutoff of 2021, something like that, means that it's never going to guarantee to give you perfect sort of technical results if you're asking about services. I've seen for example, all the custom GPTs that are in preview building for particular niches. And I think it'd be a great use case there for some kind of serverless niche to really help with the adoption for other developers. Now, in terms of whether we're going to be replacing our jobs with Gen AI, I certainly think not. I think people have had this concern time and time again as technology advances, and it's always smart problem solvers are always going to be needed at the top of that technological food chain in some way. Whether we're going to be actually writing our for loops and while loops in 10 years' time, who knows? But there are going to be people like us that are going to have to orchestrate whatever tool it is that we're using. In terms of Gen AI and whether it's ready for serverless, I think seeing the announcement and the release of Bedrock is a really, really important milestone. It's obviously something that's serverless, pay as you use it, which I think is great. And that's just the first iteration. I'm sure it's going to get better and better and better. Of course, OpenAI is a ChatGPT available for almost a year now. So is it ready to use? Yes. Is there improvement? Definitely.
100%. I was actually just having this conversation yesterday with one of my friends, and I think I said verbatim what you said. Is Gen AI going to take our jobs? No. It'll probably fundamentally change a lot of the responsibilities that we have, but it's not going to be the one that's slinging the code. I just can't see it progressing to a point where it actually can. And people trust it enough. I mean, that's a big thing with software in general, is trust. That's going to be a big milestone if we ever get to it. So I'm curious, Sam, have you built anything cool with Gen AI just as a side project or anything that you're particularly proud of?
So as a matter of fact, within Serverless Guru, we wanted to tinker around and toy with AWS Bedrock. It's obviously going to be at the forefront of reInvent, and not many of us have had much experience with it. It's the first time that we have a real opportunity to build a chatbot that can be contained within the AWS ecosystem. We decided to go with a standard front-end chatbot that's going to be using a WebSocket API to send prompts to Bedrock back and forth. The reason that we went with WebSockets instead of a traditional REST API is that Bedrock is really, really slow. We want to make sure that we can stream those responses out and get a sense that the chatbot is typing to you rather than waiting for the whole response from a prompt. Now, I know that Lambda's relatively recently supported streamed responses, and that would be supported for REST APIs. But we felt there were other parts around the nature of a WebSocket connection that just made it make sense. For example, when you open the connection, we have our connection ID that we can then use as our conversation ID and maintain a conversation that we store in DynamoDB. So we're not just sending a prompt, getting something back, and then the front end has to deal with it, which makes a ton of sense, really.
So let me jump in here real quick before you continue. So you're using these WebSocket connections to basically uniquely identify conversations that you're having with Bedrock. Bedrock is streaming responses out of Lambda to make it look like Santa is typing. And then how are you maintaining that conversation history? Are you using some sort of persistent data store, or is it ephemeral? What's the method that you're using for the back and forth chat, since obviously context is everything when we're talking about generative AI?
Yes, that's a really good question. So one of the benefits of going with the WebSocket approach is you have a unique connection ID, which is unique to that one conversation. So we thought logically we could use that connection ID as our conversation ID. So we store that in DynamoDB with the conversation prompts. And from that, we can then pass in context to Bedrock every time that we have a fresh new prompt. So there is the illusion of an ongoing conversation.
I love it. It's great. And it's such a simple design for such a powerful, really, concept in general, being able to have a conversation with a generative AI model that's impersonating Santa is actually a really cool idea. So Sam, we're running a little bit low on time, and I appreciate everything that you've talked about today. Is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with before we sign off for the day?
Serverless Guru are organizing a hackathon around this chatbot that I've just explained to you. We think it's a really exciting time to be working on generative AI. I think that the best practices haven't quite been figured out by the industry. So yes, as you just said, the architecture, the design that I just spoke about, it did sound simple, and it's by no means perfect. Lorenzo and I have just tried to squeeze this in around client meetings and client work. And I think it's a good opportunity for others that are interested in this space to try and put their stamp on the industry and the way that generative AI should be shaped for the future. So the hackathon is going to be starting December 1st. We have just over 2 weeks of hackathon time. So I think the 17th of December is closing. There's of course cash prizes and whatnot. And we just want to see a little bit of creativity around what it is that you build, but also how you build it.
That's very cool. I know I personally am going to be participating in that hackathon. I'm really excited to, you know, throw my hat into the ring, but also see what a lot of other people come up with. I think there's a lot of space for innovation right now, especially with generative AI and chatbots in general. So, all right. Well, thank you, Sam. For anybody that wants to get in touch with you specifically, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So I actually have all the handles on LinkedIn and Twitter for @serverlesssam. You can find me there. Anyone else, there's a serverless developer called Sam. Sorry, I'm not letting those go. So you can find me on Twitter. I'm a lot more active on LinkedIn. Serverless Guru, you'll find everywhere. As you said, Jonathan's done a great job with marketing, so I'm sure Serverless Guru is going to be everywhere for reInvent this hackathon.
Okay. Good talking to you, Sam, and we'll see you at reInvent.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
Bye. That's it for this episode of the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast. Be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts to stay up to date on the latest episodes. For more info on trending cloud topics, be sure to visit readysetcloud.io and sign up for the Serverless Picks of the Week newsletter. I'm Alan Helton, and we're out of here. Wanna hear you go.